My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. And thank you for sending in your Walt Disney World questions. If you want to get in touch with me and the podcast, at PodMagical on the socials. If you want to be a guest or you want to see what our guests look like, because sometimes you listen to the podcast, you go, I wonder what they look like. Well, you can have a look. We put pictures on the socials, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, X, every now and then. And of course, if you want to send me a message, please do. You can either just publicly send me or DM me. They're always open. Hello to Gav, who wants to know about booking keys to the kingdom for his son. Good news and bad news for you, Gav. Because if you want to do Keys to the Kingdom, this is the bad news. You've got to be over 16. And I know he isn't. So unfortunately, you have to wait until he's 16 to go on Keys to the Kingdom tour. But what a great 16th birthday present that would be. If you want to book Keys to the Kingdom, you can book it on the Walt Disney World website. But you need your VPN on. I don't know why certain things like fireworks, dessert parties and booking Keys to the Kingdom and a few extras, you need a VPN. And I don't know why it is like that. But put your VPN on, do a search of Keys to the Kingdom, and the dates and prices and availability will come on there. And if you've been to Walt Disney World quite a few times, it really is worth doing. And a lot of people say, how then does it ruin the magic once you've seen backstage? Because Keys to the Kingdom, just in case you don't know, it will give you the history of Disney World, but it also takes you backstage so you can see where they sort out the parades. You go in the famous Utilidors, which are underneath the Magic Kingdom. So it's a guided tour of behind the scenes of Magic Kingdom, and it really... it makes you feel more impressed about Imagineering and the way that the Disney parks are run. So it doesn't ruin it for you. In fact, it makes it even better. As quite a few of the guests who've been on the podcast have done Keys to the Kingdom. But if you want to do Keys to the Kingdom, you need to get your VPN on, you need to book early, and you need to be over 16, Gav. Maybe in a couple of years' time. If you have a question or you'd like to be a podcast guest, drop me a message at PodMagical. Daniel and Jamie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Have you got a Disney trip to look forward to this year? Can you say you're going to Disney this year?
We can do. We have just booked California for June for our first time. We'll have Paris coming up soon when we get the Insiders date in for Disney Adventure World. So hopefully that's coming soon.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about. I want to talk more about the inside ears for Disneyland Paris, because you've been to... just before we started recording, we said, how many times have you been to Paris? And you said, about 50. And then you went, maybe 300.
A lot.
How often do you go to Disneyland Paris?
It really varies. It depends how often they have new seasons on. Obviously, when they used to do the parties, we used to try and hit every single party. So, you know, I think one year we went like 10 times.
Yeah, I think the most we did was 14 in a year.
14 in a year, so that was more than once a month.
At that point, yeah, but some of it was just for like one night.
That's fine.
It's great, because we live in London, so we can, you know, there's multiple transport ways just to get there and back. We drive, we fly, so yeah, it's great.
So have you been looking at the Eurostar sale over the last few weeks going, oh, well, we can go for like this? Well, stupid not to.
We do. Eurostar's one of the ones, I don't know, it's like, you can get it for 70 quid return, right? But then I'm always comparing it by going by car, because you can get ferry sometimes for like 50 quid return. And the great thing about the ferry is you can just, you know, fill up the car and off you go. But yeah, I do love the Eurostar. When we do get the Eurostar, it's something we enjoy, because it's direct into Paris and just getting the RER across.
Yeah, it's nice and easy, until it gets cancelled, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, like before New Year. Yeah, that was a nightmare, wasn't it, for people? In terms of Disney World, it's just been the one big trip to Disney World, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So we did like a proper two-week, we just literally focused fully on Disney World as Disney Parks fans. It was one of those trips where we had it planned just before COVID. We didn't get it booked, but then literally, obviously, and the shutdown happened.
Yeah.
So as soon as everything opened up again, we decided, yeah, we need to do it. So we did it for the full 2 weeks.
Did you change your plans? So what you were going to do before COVID, when you actually got to go, did you find yourself pushing it just a little bit more, going, well, maybe we could do this, or well, maybe we could add that on?
Yeah, they brought back the free dining offer by that point. So we managed to do a lot more restaurants than what we ever imagined we would do. And I think we went up a level of hotel as well, didn't we?
Yeah, so we were going to go, you know, obviously with the bottom option, but then we went to the moderate to get the upgrade and the dining offer. And yeah, I think obviously we could, yeah, it was to save more of a time. So we just, it was a bucket list trip, just trying to do everything. obviously, when we go back to Orlando, it won't be so much focused on Disney. Probably do a week in Disney and a week something else. So, yeah, it was obviously a lot more jam-packed in us.
Let's talk about that trip then. So where did you stay, first of all?
So we stayed at Port Orleans French Quarter.
Yeah.
Really renovated rooms. They'd literally finished our block about 2 weeks before we went.
Yeah, that was great, because I felt like we were one of the first people to stay in there, because you could tell it was all shiny.
But you could still smell the paint.
Oh, yes.
It smells new.
And when you're like pulling the drawers, it was like the first time it was being pulled.
Yeah. And what made you choose French Quarter?
Well, we kept moving, didn't we?
We did. I think we had about seven different hotels booked.
Our travel agent loved us.
Yeah.
That's what they're for.
Yeah. We started with, I think, some Pop Century, didn't we? And then the free dining offer came, so we moved on to that. Then we went to Riverside. And then I was like, should we just go for French Quarter? Because we loved the idea of, you know, it was just the one bus stop, wasn't it? So
much smaller resort. We don't like huge resorts where you've got to walk for miles and fight in the canteen. We like a little bit smaller, less people there.
Yeah, exactly. It felt kind of like, you know, it felt very secluded. It was nice. I really enjoyed it.
It is so popular with us Brits, French Quarter. I don't know what it is. I think maybe it is the size. It feels just a little bit more cozy and homely. And like you say, having that just that one bus stop.
So much easier.
Yeah, it was great. I think we could walk to the bus stop in like 5 minutes too. And then, you know, when we hear our friends going to the other hotels, it was like, yeah, I've got to wait all around the loop. And it's like a 10-15 minute walk to my room. So,
and it was, the bus was full by the time they got to,
yeah, we never had a full bus. We were never queuing for the bus. It was great.
That's the worst thing about staying at the bigger resorts. Like, I mean, I love Caribbean Beach and I love the Skyliner, but if you're not going to Epcot or Hollywood Studios and you're waiting for that bus and it's been around the block and had three stops before you and suddenly it turns up and it's full, or at the end of the night when you just want to get back to your stop and you've got you're still going round for another half an hour, whereas French Quarter, home, door, yeah, to door, isn't it?
I trouble to see the benefit. Obviously, I see the benefit of the Skyliner overall, but like when you're walking at Hollywood Studios and you see the massive queue, I was thinking that must take forever.
It does move pretty fast. Yeah, it does move pretty fast. But yeah, that initial...
Yeah, it's initial shock, isn't it? Like, when, wow.
Yeah, Epcot's worse, because when Epcot, obviously you've got the fireworks that finish and then everybody leaves at the same time, whereas Hollywood Studios is a bit more staggered. But yeah, Epcot, that queue can go all the way around the boardwalk sometimes. It's quite stretchy. Did you have a look at other hotels as well? If you tempted... Did any of them tempt you for a future trip?
Yeah, I mean...
I think we went to most of the hotels where we went to the restaurants within them.
Yeah, we did. I think obviously Caribbean Beach was one which we considered, so maybe that was one we would go back to. I loved the Riviera, obviously, that is a deluxe.
Yeah, Riviera was lovely. Well, we have expensive taste, that's the problem.
Why not? You can dream.
We can.
Maybe one day, you never know.
Yeah, exactly. I think if we were going to go back and do the sort of short trip, then we could stretch maybe to doing a split stay, deluxe on one and cheap overside. So,
and that's been recorded now, exactly. So we can't go back on it.
It's on tape. Officially, it's out there. You've got ear witnesses. What about food then? Because if you had the free dining, you must have got your way around some of the best restaurants in Disney World.
So we did every single character dining option that was out there, I think I'm correct in saying that.
We did, yeah. So we're big on characters, obviously, being Disney Parks fans. So
yeah,
the character dining was important to us. It's something we always do in Paris. So, yeah, we hit every single character dining option at the time. And then we did do a few table service, a few other bits, but the character dining was our main one.
Yeah.
And which was your favourite character dining?
For me, it was Chef Mickey.
And for me, the storybook dining with Snow White, I think that was my favourite one.
And what made you prefer those?
I loved Chef Mickey because the buffet was just massive.
Yeah.
When I compared the other buffets, they always seemed quite smaller compared to Paris. that Chef Mickey LaBeouf just went on and on and on, and I loved it. I know it is a bit chaotic with it being kind of, you know, next to the monorail, and it is a big, obviously high ceiling, but yeah, I enjoyed that one.
And for me, Artie's point, I liked the photo pass character with the Evil Queen in there. That was really good. And I thought the quality of the food was phenomenal.
Yeah, that was fun.
How did you find the food, being, you know, regulars at Disneyland Paris, going to Orlando for the first time? What were your food comparisons? Better, worse, different?
I don't think you can compare them. I think Walt Disney World is just a completely new level.
Mm.
They need to show Disneyland Paris how to improve their food game, I think, is probably the best way to say it.
You say that. But, yeah, I mean, Disney World, when you compare it with food, you can't. It's crazy. But Paris over time is, as they're refreshing...
It's improving.
It's getting there, yeah.
Yeah, as they're refreshing their menus, I am noticing the quality is increasing.
A lot of them, you know, if you compare quick service versus quick service, Walt Disney World...
Oh, 100%.
Whole new level.
The quick service in Paris is... Yeah.
I think, though, in Florida, they've got the benefit of having so much space. I mean, you've got four parks and all those resorts, so you're going to have such a wider choice there for when it comes to quick service. But I do agree. But looking at what's coming to Paris, I'm thinking, oh, okay, when Arendelle opens, there looks like that there's some good options there, and there's going to be new character dining there as well. So maybe...
It has potential.
Yeah, let's see. We've seen the photos. I'm excited about the... I can't remember what it's going to have, the quick service spot in... Arendelle, the world.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called. That's why I said Arendelle.
Yeah.
What it's called. Something looked, Norwegian, probably.
Because I thought it had salmon. I don't think I've ever seen salmon, except, like, you know, on the buffet, like in the quick service. Never seen salmon Disneyland Paris. So I'm excited for that. I think Disneyland Paris struggles because, obviously, in the European setting, it's difficult to hit everyone's taste, isn't it? From people traveling all over Europe. So
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be great. And the character dining as well, across the lake, it looks good.
All of the prices look like they're a little bit crazy, especially for that one.
99 euros.
People pay it.
People will pay it.
People do pay it. And it's hard to get a reservation, probably. So, you know, we're just ourselves to blame, I suppose, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
We'll be queuing out the door. I do want to try the character designing, though. It does look good. But I am disappointed with its princesses, because I feel like Paris has enough princess restaurants. They need to get the princesses out of the restaurants into meet and greet points and have a different kind of experience, I think, inside there.
I'm with you there. For that restaurant in Paris, it's not the characters for me. I thought the view of there would be spectacular. And I don't know whether they're going to do something different at night. So it'd be interesting to see. But yeah, I don't want to meet the princesses. I like a character meet as well. But I feel awkward when it's princesses. Get me Daisy Duck sassing around and I can have conversations for hours. But when it's the princesses, I kind of struggled. Are you the same?
Yeah, to some extent. I normally try to plan the conversation a bit before we go into the restaurant, but I do know what you mean. Obviously, you know, the character itself, it can vary in Paris, obviously, with our understanding of the different languages. So,
yeah.
In America, I found it a lot easier because they were straight away. But in Paris, yeah, it's more difficult, I think.
And in terms of non-character restaurants, what were your favourites?
I mean, that sounds... It's only a quick service, but Satouli Kitchen was
phenomenal.
Yeah, I could eat there every day.
Did we do any non-character table service?
I don't feel like we did.
I feel every single table service we did had a character at it.
It was a bit wild.
It's an excuse to go back. That just adds to the list.
We even went like to Hollywood and Vine, and then we did like the dinner, and then we went back for the Disney Junior breakfast.
Oh, because different characters, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. That's how crazy we were.
See, Hollywood and Vine gets a really bad rap, but I really like it.
I thought breakfast was better than dinner.
See, I've never done breakfast there because of the characters. Like, the characters don't interest me at breakfast.
Fair enough.
You don't like Vampirina?
Sadly, no. Or Fancy Nancy. Is she still there?
Yeah,
she is. That was great. It was able to speak some French. It was exciting. She probably had no idea what we were saying, but it was fun.
She could just wave. Like, she can't reply, so she could get away with it. In terms of favourite attractions over at Disney World, which ones were your best picks?
For me, it was definitely Rise of Resistance. I didn't look at it before we went. I wanted to be a surprise, and the drop was so fun. You know, just the animatronics in there was incredible.
For me, I think it was Guardians of the Galaxy. That ride was incredible. Possibly my favourite coaster.
Yeah, that coaster's good.
Yeah.
And what about Paris? What were your favourite attractions in Paris?
For me, it's more on the classics there. It's definitely Big Thunder Mountain for me.
Yeah, Big Thunder at Paris can't be beaten.
Oh, yeah.
Out of the Big Thunders, anyway.
I do love Web Slingers as well. I don't think that gets enough love.
Yeah.
Because that opened, and no one seems to rave about it.
Got no real, big hit with it.
Yeah.
And you get sore wrists, that's the problem with it, and I'm not very good at it. That's
you
why
do,
I don't
but,
like it.
You
yeah.
know, if you look at the predecessor being Armageddon...
Oh, yeah.
I missed that so much. That was such a good rainy day ride.
It was always quick to get in, that's for sure.
Yeah, and look at the other people like who went on it, their reactions, it was incredible.
I forgot about Armageddon. Yeah. Erased it from my memory, thankfully. In terms of the classics that they have in Paris, because you'd be so used to them, how did they compare when you went over to Florida?
Oh, so this is my one thing about Florida. The classics in Paris were far superior.
Mm-hmm.
In Florida, it felt shorter. It didn't feel as detailed.
That's probably because they were built in Florida first and they've been improved when they've come over to Paris.
I start in California.
Well, yeah.
We didn't get to do Big Thunder Mountain. It was closed at the time when we went to Florida, but even comparing that to the size Pirates, I was shocked. It was only like one drop, I think.
And yeah.
It was so... And the escalator at the end, that felt really random.
Yeah, just to get you out.
I was like, what is this? The classics in Paris are far superior. I think it's the detail on them too. It's just, you can't compare them. But the high ticket attractions in Florida are far superior to Paris.
Back with the boys in just a moment. Let's get you a news update, some things that are going on in Walt Disney World. We've got the lineup for this year's Garden Rocks concert at the Flower and Garden Festival at Epcot this year. It starts on the 5th of March with the music of ABBA. So it's a mix of tribute acts and actual known names. Some of the known names, we've got a lot of returning favourites. Billy Ocean, Peter Noon, Herman's Hermits, Sugar Ray, The Commodores, Rick Springfield, Air Supply, Flock of Seagulls, Plain White Tees. Also this year, Katrina from Katrina and the Waves going to be performing at Epcot on the 8th and 9th of May. Have a look at the full lineup over on our socials at Pod Magical. There's also going to be a new location for Gideon's Bakehouse at Disney Springs. They're keeping the same location. There's going to be an extra location, something new from Gideon's. Six Ravens will open later on this year. It's where the old Art of Shaving used to be. Think of Gideon's, but a little bit more savoury. I think that's probably the quickest way to describe it. And we have more food news. If you love an afternoon tea, I've never had an afternoon tea at Disney World, but the Garden View Lounge tea experience will be reopening at the Grand Floridian on March the 19th with reservations from February the 19th. It's going to have touches and tributes to Alice in Wonderland to enhance your experience. Fancy a bit of afternoon tea at the Grand Floridian? Get in nice and early. I think that's going to be very popular. Any more news between now and the next podcast, give us a follow on the socials. Find out what's going on at Pod Magical. We have Daniel and Jamie with us on this episode of the podcast. Here is the question. Why do you love Disney parks? What is it for you both that gets you back hundreds and hundreds of times?
For me, it's probably just the nostalgia. It's the feeling of, watching all those movies when you were kids and it bringing it back to you when you walk into the parks, seeing all the characters, seeing all the theming, that's what brings it back to me. When I go to other theme parks, you just don't get that feel as if when you go into a Disney park.
Yeah, and I think linking into that, I think it's kind of like the immersion. You can forget about real life while you're there. You're living like a fairy tale while you're walking around the parks. I think more so at Paris than we did at Walt Disney World because, I don't know, their fantasy land in Walt Disney World, I didn't feel was as magical as Paris's one, but I don't know why, just the way I felt with it. But I think, that immersion for me.
And what do you remember about your first ever visits to the parks?
Well, I was six, so not a lot.
You must remember something, though. It must be...
You remember the carousel? You were something.
Oh, yeah. So I remember my nan, who was in her 70s, 80s at the time, and she got on what was the lowest down carousel horse. And then by the end of the ride, it was possibly the highest carousel horse, and she couldn't get off the horse. And also I remember in Newport Bay them giving free Smarties to all the children.
Free Smarties?
Yeah, wow. In paper cones made from the table mats.
Don't get that now.
Don't get that now, no.
No, nothing free anymore.
For me, my first trip was actually on a school trip, which was a bit odd. And I didn't do any research before we went. There's obviously only like 12 or 13. But we didn't know there was a second park. And I remember my biggest letdown being as soon as we left, I found out from a teacher that the studios was across the road. And then half the kids went there and I didn't go there. So I was really disappointed. But I went back a few years later.
So. And you were still disappointed?
Yeah, still disappointed.
Walked straight to Armageddon and you weren't well.
No, I love Armageddon. Bring it back.
So if I was to give you your perfect day, I'm going to say, I usually say perfect day at Disney World. Let me say perfect day in any Disney park, right? So you can pick a park and you can spend an entire day doing what you want, when you want. What would you do? How would you spend it from dusk till dawn, rope drop to fireworks?
For me, it would definitely be a castle park. I don't get the same feels as if I go into a non-castle park, so that would be my number one.
Okay, so which one then? Are you going to go Paris or Florida?
Oh, that's difficult. We'll go Florida. I think that castle gives you the feels.
Yeah.
Probably character breakfast.
Yeah.
And then
Tron.
You'd need multipass, right?
Yeah. We're having multipass.
No, don't worry about that. You're getting on everything. You're with me.
Exactly.
You're a VIP tour here.
A VIP tour, wow. So yeah, all the attractions in the morning, and then we'll hit all the characters in the afternoon.
Dessert party
for an evening, happily ever after. And then walk out tired, back to the room, back for a Mickey pizza. And
did you do the dessert party last time?
We did.
We did, yeah.
And did you think that was good value for money?
It's good value for Disney money.
Yeah.
Is anything good value for money?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the spot. I enjoyed the cakes and sweet treats afterwards were fun. I think if you're going for the first time and you just want to get that perfect spot, it's great. I think if we went back, it's...
Probably wouldn't do it again. It was a lot of money for what it was.
But then we're looking to do it in California for all their ones, so...
Yeah, but it's our first time.
We still have
it's your first time, yeah. It's not booked to you. Well, you've only just booked the trips, are you? There's plenty of time to make your list. Now, you mentioned before you're part of the Disneyland Paris Inside Ears, is it?
Yes, that's correct, yes.
So what's that? Tell us more about that.
So that is a Disney-run social media team, essentially, and they push all the press announcements out to authorized accounts. So where we run a Facebook group with over 100,000 people in it, we were invited to join Inside Ears so that we can get all the up-to-date accurate information direct from Disney.
Ah, excellent. And they invite you to events as well, or
we do actually get quite a few. We have an admin which lives in France, so she... We normally spread it out to the admin in the UK first.
Yeah.
If one of those don't have a trip planned, then our admin in France will be able to visit, which she enjoys, but she gets quite a few. We do get quite a few perks and events with it. We've had a lot of freebies throughout the years as well posted. Yep. So, yeah.
And obviously your annual pass holders as well, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't get free annual passes.
No.
Now, Mickey said no to that. He said, if you want an annual pass, then you're obviously good enough to buy one.
Yep.
What kind of perks do you get with the Disneyland Paris annual pass?
Not much nowadays.
Discounts off food and merchandise.
Yeah.
Free parking.
Free parking's a good one.
Free parking is a good one.
Sometimes discount on the hotels, which is a bit dubious, because if you compare it to other...
Booking.com, hotels.com.
It's not actually that much cheaper. You sometimes get cheap friends and family tickets when there's low park attendance, which works out well.
Discounted photo pass.
Free photo pass on gold.
Yep.
How many trips to get your money's worth out of it? So if somebody goes a few times a year, where's that tipping point of going, do you know what, it's probably worth being an annual pass holder?
I would probably say...
It does depend what pass you're on.
It does depend what pass you're on, but I'd say overall, if you're going to do 3 trips a year, you definitely made your money back.
Yeah, I think we worked out on a silver pass, we needed to do, was it 5 days to break?
Yeah, 5
days. We are on a silver pass. If you want more like 8 or 9 days that you need to do.
But the goal is you pay an extra like 300 euros,
yeah,
and then you only get an extra 2 weeks, I think, across Halloween and Christmas time, so it's not that big of a perk. So we just go for the silvers. We're never going to visit over those
holiday
seasons. But it is a bit more restricted now because you can only book 3 park days at a time. So with that, you don't know if you're doing a 5-day trip, you don't know if you're going to get on those 4th or 5th days, because they could be fully booked by the time you go to it. So that is one of the more challenging parts of it.
But that's similar to the American parks as well.
And have they got blockout dates for when, I always keep calling it studios. In fact, I'm going to keep calling it studios. I still call it MGM Studios in Hollywood Studios. Have they got blockout dates for when that opens in March, April?
There is blockout dates on the Silver Pass in May, specifically for that, I believe. For the Gold Pass, no, there's not. But I can see they have the technology already to book certain parks for certain days, like California, like Disney World. So I can see them potentially. Where now you just kind of book both parks at once, I think down the line they'll probably split it up maybe. Because with the new Bronze Pass, you can only go in one park per day.
Yeah.
Right. No park hopping.
Yeah.
And when is your next trip booked?
California.
Oh, so you're going to be going to California before you go back to Paris?
No. We'll hopefully get back to Paris. We're just waiting for the...
all the confirmation dates on when annual pass preview days are happening and stuff, and hopefully we'll be able to jump in and book.
Yeah, get down to the ferry.
Yes. Get everything booked up. What is your favourite Disney memory? Can be from any of the parks. It could be from the last trip. It could be from your first trip. If you each had a favourite Disney parks memory, that what you will cherish in your heart forever.
I'm going to take it before he does. Me proposing to Jamie in front of Donald Duck at Disneyland Paris, and he's not allowed to pick the same one.
Yes.
We need to know more about how did Donald Duck react.
So,
Here's the story. Go on.
So it was pre-prepared. So we are good friends with quite a lot of cast members out there, and it was arranged, so Donald knew, the photographer knew, the cast member working there knew, all in advance, and I was told exactly what time to be there, so everyone was in aware. So Donald reacted exactly how he should have done, surprised and happy, and we got loads and loads of photos of the whole event. The only person that didn't know was Jamie.
for my favourite... My most recent favourite one is probably the Hollywood Studios After Dark party. That was
good.
That
fun.
Was incredible. That's one of my favourite Disney party I've done. In Paris, it would probably be Fan Days.
Fan Days was good.
Fan Days was amazing. It was a special party they did with loads and loads of characters. It was kind of like a celebration of being a Disney fan.
Ah, okay. So what kind of characters were there? Really rare characters that you don't normally see around?
Yeah, it was literally like every single Disney Land Paris character you can think of.
And all the American ones as well. So like Phineas and Ferb were there. We had Kudzo and Kronks and
Big Hero 6 characters.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. Anyone they could find was out.
They shipped them in worldwide for one day.
They all flew over for
it. Well, it's been great to chat to both of you. How do we find you on the socials? Where can we see more of you?
So we are on Instagram as Travel with Thompsons. We're on YouTube as Travel with Thompsons, and we are on Facebook as Disneyland Paris Advice.
And where can we find the video of the proposal in front of Donald Duck? Because that's what I want to watch immediately now.
There is no video, but there is pictures which are up on Instagram. Yes,
from 6 years ago now.
Yeah,
wow.
I can't believe you know Donald Duck so well that he was in on the proposal before.
I know.
Did he keep it to himself, or do you know if he told Daisy before it happened? Like, did all the characters know? Was like, were you the gossip backstage?
All I know is there was a lot of cast members off to the side that were watching and cheering after it happened.
Okay, maybe friends of Daisy.
It can't be trusted, that duck.
Oh, I know, we know that, sure. But he still didn't get the hint. He's still not got down on one knee for Daisy, though, has he?
Not yet.
One day, as she will tell you every time you meet her, she will tap that finger. Where's that ring? Daniel and Jamie, thanks for chatting and have a magical day.
You too, thank you.
Heading over to Walt Disney World over the next few weeks. Going to be a couple of busy weekends coming up because we've got cheerleading events at Walt Disney World. If you've never been to the parks when there's a cheerleading event on, it gets very, very busy, particularly as well if you're staying at a value resort, because that tends to be where they stay. But this weekend, January 30th to February the 1st, there's an event on the Varsity Spirit National School Spirit Champions. And then again the next weekend, February the 6th to the 8th. So expect it to be very busy that weekend. And a lot of people say, oh, January, February is probably really quiet. Do you know what? It never is anymore, because like the first weekend is New Year's weekend. And then the following weekend is usually the marathon weekend. And then we've got a bank holiday over in America. And then we've got cheerleading events. So the first few weeks, first couple of months of the year, very busy. So I don't think there is a quieter season. Maybe September, end of August. September is a little bit quieter. But that's happening this weekend and next weekend. Also, of course, we've got the Epcot International Festival of Arts, which is on right now to mid-February, which is brilliant. It is the last weekend to ride Dinosaur at Animal Kingdom. The last few times I've been to Animal Kingdom, I've been riding that ride for one last time. Well, the 1st of February will be the very last chance for you to ride Dinosaur at Animal Kingdom. As from the 2nd of February, it will be closed. All the area will be closed. Get ready for Tropical Americas and the Indiana Jones ride. Weather-wise, it should be dry, but it is going to be cold again. We had that cold snap a few weeks ago. Going to be cold. I noticed one night overnight is going to be -3. But nice. If you like clear blue skies and putting a jacket on at night, it's good weather. Pound to dollar's around 1.38. It has been up to this week. That's where it's hovering around at the moment. And I always like to end the podcast with a top tip. The top tip for this episode, have a look at Etsy or Amazon to see if you can get a height chart. So some places sell height charts so you can measure the kid's height. And as you normally would, you know, it'll tell you, you know, so many centimetres tall, but it also gives you the height requirement for all the attractions at Walt Disney World. So if your little one is desperate to go on, I don't know, Avatar's Flight of Passage, and they've got to be a certain height, when they get to that height, it'll say, oh, you're at the height where you can go on Avatar's Flight of Passage. So it's really good to get them excited, but also maybe to keep them grounded, because if they're really too short to be on some rides they're excited about, when you do that measurement every day or every week, you go, oh, you're getting nearer and nearer. But when you go, if they're still not tall enough, it'll be kind of like more realistic. Their expectations won't be like, I'm going to go on Flight of Passage, and they're actually not tall enough. But yeah, have a look on Etsy and have a look on Amazon. You can get these wall charts. It's like a poster. So you measure your kid's height as normal, but it also gives the height requirements for each of the attraction as they're getting taller and taller. Just a good idea. Anything else between now and the next podcast? I'll keep you updated on the socials at PodMagical. If you want to get in touch, please do. If you've got any top tips like that, by the way, there's something you've bought that's been particularly good for your trip, let me know. We can share the top tips on this podcast. Back in 2 weeks with another guest, a brand new episode, more stories, more memories to share. Don't forget to like and subscribe. If you could please do that, whether you're listening on Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star review. It helps people. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.